fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I continue to talk about the mission of Our Lady. It's kind of a theme for the week for me, just reflecting on the last couple of months. I've been thinking a lot about Our Lady, and who's always been a very important part of my own faith life, and she was key, really, to bringing my family from a place of brokenness, addiction, drifting away from the faith, to coming wholeheartedly to the Lord, receiving healing and grace. And my mother had a profound devotion to Our Lady our entire life through lots of difficult years. She had seven kids. She and Dad had seven kids. My father, I mentioned on the show a number of times over the years, who was in the military in Patton's Third Army, the Battle of the Bulge back in the day in the Second World War. He saw a lot. He was in reconnaissance, and when he came out, he had what we'd call today PTSD. Back in the day, they didn't diagnose it quite like they're able to diagnose it now. But to make a long story short, my dad battled alcoholism for years, and really through the intervention of the intercession, I think, of Our Lady, my mom, totally devoted to daily reading of Scripture and entrusting the family, my dad and stuff, to Our Lady, to the Lord. Eventually, a healing happened. It was very dramatic, very clear intervention from the Lord, and great renewal came to my family, and to this day. I mean, that happened in 1977. That's a long time ago. I can't believe how old I've gotten, but it continues today, the grace of renewal within the family, and I know Our Lady's intercession is powerful, and that she's close, and Jesus sends her to be deeply engaged in communicating messages from heaven, leading us and modeling for us how to pray, how to respond to God. So just thinking a lot about her as we celebrated last month, Our Lady of Fatima, the miracle of Fatima, the miracle of Aparecida when I was in Brazil with my wife Debbie on a mission just recently. And so there's no doubt that she has a very important role to play. I'm concerned that we really take the time to hear and to listen to the message. It's very simple, but it's very powerful, and it's very beautiful. I don't have to go over what happened at Fatima. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I talked about it in more detail. There she was warning the world about the upcoming wars, the First and Second World War, that were about to unfold if the world did not repent of sin and its rebellion against God. And that the world was deeply offending God by ignoring God and going its own way, insisting on its own understanding and not trusting in God. And of course, we know what happened historically. And the detail of what she said was coming, the things that were coming and how it unfolded, was amazingly clear. But one of the things I think that we should take heart with today is, even in the midst of a world that seems to be in even more radical rebellion against God than it was at that time, how did God deal with it? How did God speak to us? How did he call us to respond? Like, how can we make a difference? That's where I ended the program yesterday, and I want to pick it up again today. So our solution often is, well, we need to rally people, which is fine. We look to our own strengths and our own resources. One of the things I see as kind of chaos seems to emerge more and more in society today and around the world, we are on the verge, potentially, of serious war. It's a very, very unstable time. We can see in the daily news the kind of radical degree of secular resistance to God and the things of God, to deep perversion that's in society, the anger and the rage and attitudes of hubris and pride. It's just, it's big, it's deep, and it's deeper than we even see. It's often the corruption is much deeper. It's like the iceberg, you know, you can see stuff at the top, but underneath, there's a lot more there. I believe the Lord is going to continue to unearth that. We, as a church, went through, really, the last couple of decades, some very humbling and humiliating purging and judgment from God. I think God's judgment was on the church. God's loving judgment and discipline is on the church, revealing the state of the church, the corruption of sin that was present in parts of the church and in certain people within the church, and exposed it for what it was, and it was humiliating. And the whole purpose and the reason God does it is to call us to repentance. I think that same judgment, the scripture says judgment begins with God's own household, but I believe it's going to the world. And a lot of the hypocrisy and the sin of the world is about to be exposed. And humanity is going to be caught up and is currently caught up in its own sin and its own corruption. We rarely look at the human situation the way God does, at least as Mary tells us God does, as she did at Fatima. She said, God's very much aware of the condition of human hearts. He made us for himself. We are literally made in God's image and likeness. We are amazing creatures, but we're creatures. Paul's letter to the Colossians reminds us that we were made by the Lord Jesus, through the Lord, through the Word of God. We were made by the Lord. We're made for the Lord. Our whole purpose for being is to be in relationship with God. When we're not in relationship with God, we're disordered. And that corruption can run unbelievably deep in human beings. The higher you are, the greater you are, the greater you can fall. Look at Lucifer. He was the light bearer. He's the most beautiful in some ways, maybe the most powerful of all the angels. And what happens? When he rebels, he falls to the most grotesque corruption imaginable. And now he's raging across the earth in hatred for God, seeking to seduce human beings into his corruption. And friends, we can fall very, very far because we have a capacity to rise very, very high. And what's really going on in the world, the real battle in the world, the big stuff that's happening in the world is not what's going on in Silicon Valley, what's going on in Hollywood, what's going on in Wall Street, what's going on in North Korea. The biggest thing that's happening in the world is the battle for eternal souls. The entire world eventually, friends, is going to be burned up, is going to be dealt with before the Lord comes again. All the kingdoms of this earth, all the technology, it's all going to pass away. But what will never pass away is eternal souls, human beings. We are made for eternal life. We don't see it today. We're so blinded by our own sin. We're more into the latest telephone or app or this or that. That's what captivates our imagination. Human beings are just secondary, tertiary. I mean, animals now are being raised to the heights beyond the dignity of human beings in the eyes of a lot of people. There's just darkness of mind and confusion that's going on. There's a disorder that's happening in creation because humanity reveals to come under the lordship of God because we're out of order. He set us as the crown here in his creation here on earth. And when we decide we don't want to go that way, we're responsible for the disorder that goes throughout the culture and goes throughout the world. And what we're seeing and continuing, the world continues to abort human beings. We're easily disposable. Why? Because our order, our priorities, we want pleasure. We want sex without responsibility. We look at human sexuality, the gift that God has given to us, when rightly ordered, which is a profound participation in God's creative purpose. We don't want the creative purpose. We want the pleasure. And we want it when we want it, how we want it, where we want it, all of that. And so we turn it on its head, we deconstruct it, and we control it under our will. And our wills are not yielded to God's will. And so we force disorder right into creation itself. And what ends up happening? We put ourselves under what St. Francis called a curse. The beautiful saint, the one that everybody loves but rarely listens to, St. Francis said to the political leaders of his age, I've read what he said a number of times here on the radio program over the years, he was very clear, he warned them, if you ignore God's commandments, you put yourself under a curse. And when leaders put themselves under a curse, leaders of nations, leaders of cities, leaders of families, when leaders who have responsibility, using their will, trusting in their own understanding, and following the ways of this world, making themselves enemies of God, St. Francis said, he's just echoing scripture, we put ourselves under a curse, and that curse is the darkness and dominion of the enemy. And we end up imaging him and not imaging God. If we love the world, we're going to look at the world and we're going to produce what the world produces, which is what the enemy wants it to produce. That's what happens. And what the enemy wants? He wants human beings dead, killed, godless. That's what he wants. And that's what happens. So now we're exalting euthanasia. The world is in panic about the future. And what do we know? What do we need to do? The hope for the world is what? It's a post-human world, part human, part machine. And all we're all smart enough now to create this so we have some kind of hope for the world. It's insanity, really. And in the midst of the complication of that chaos, and in a panic and a frantic pace, relying on our own understanding, there's a madness, friends, that's being released in the world, and it's judgment upon the world. What's the answer? More complication? More of our own understanding? No, the answer is right there in the children of Fatima. God spoke to the world. What's the answer? He sent an angel of peace. You want peace? Follow the angel of peace. What did the angel of peace do? He taught the children how to pray, because they were about to receive apparitions of Mary, visitations of Mary, who is bringing messages from heaven, messages directly from the throne of Jesus about the world, about the condition of the human race. And the answer is not more complication. The answer is simplicity, humility, obedience, trust, surrender. And these children had it. The angel came, he knelt down, and he basically said to them, "Watch me, pray with me." He knelt down and put his head, forehead on the ground, and he said, the prayer I've prayed every day this week so far, "My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you." And the angel said to them, "Pray this way. The hearts of Jesus and Mary are ready to listen to you." Jesus' heart is ready to listen. I shared about what happened in Brazil and just the amazing response of people of faith to the Word of God, to the messages of Our Lady. And there's huge buy-in there in the life of the church and great fruitfulness happening. Not without its problems, for sure. But comparatively speaking, an amazing place. And why is that? Because they have better technology? Because they have more theologians? Because they have everybody's more highly educated and everybody's wealthier and whatever? No. Because they bend the knee. It's an act of humbling ourselves, yes. But it's humbling prideful hearts that don't like being rightfully ordered to God. And God gives the message to the world, saying, "Look, unless you become like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. I love you. I'm with you. It's not complicated. I want to bless you, but I cannot bless you when you're in rebellion against me. What's the way out? What's the way out in your home? As parents, a lot of times we struggle, you know, what should we do about these difficult times we're living in? Let's make it really simple. Let your first step be this, mom and dad. Imitate the angel. Take a few minutes every day with your children, and just start here. Say, kids, we're going to go into the living room. We're going to be before an icon of our Lord and our Lady, before a cross, whatever. And we're going to begin the day, or we're going to end the day, whatever it is. And dad, make sure you do this with all your heart. Kneel down. Bow down. You're the high priest of your family, if you want to put it that way. Lead your children. Lead your family. Let your forehead touch the ground. Let your children see you, a child of God, honoring God, adoring God. And just pray this simple prayer. It'll take you 30 seconds. But do it with devotion and do it with love. Let that be your starting point. And follow these children right into God's plan and purpose. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.